Welcome back. I'm Guru Catherine, founder at Geode Blockchain and guide for your personal journey. And today I want to talk about your money. Number one, this is not financial advice. I am not a financial advisor. You should go find one and talk to them. You shouldn't believe a darn thing I say and take it all with a grain of salt. But here comes my opinion. And this has been coming up for me with younger generations, so I want to talk about it. What is the route these days to building wealth? Every single generation has had their method of building wealth that didn't entirely work for the next generation that came after it. Where's this going? Can we see the trend line and can we follow that train down the tracks? That's what I want to talk about today. So let's go all the way back. I'm a Gen Xer, and let's go back not to the boomers, but to the greatest generation, my grandparents, greatest. They were great, but I don't know about that. The World War II generation. For them, your own private house that you lived in was your wealth-building tool. You bought a house in your 20s. There's a crazy idea now, isn't it? You'd buy a house in your 20s. You would live there for 50 years, working for the same organization, the same company for an entire career. And when you were ready to retire in your 60s, late 60s, early 70s, that house was so full of equity as compared to when you bought it, right? You bought it for $25,000 and now it's worth $500,000. You sell that house, downsize, take your nest egg, and go retire. So the concept of your own personal residence as the path to wealth, it was true for them. It's not been true for me, and I think it's not been true for a lot of Gen Xers, and I don't think it's been true for a lot of boomers either. So after the World War II generation, then you had your boomers. For the boomer generation, they tried to do the same thing. They had that same idea. Well, I'll just do what my parents did. You buy a house in your 20s, you stay in that one house for a long time. Oh, wait, that plan doesn't work. Boomers were much more mobile in terms of their career. They would tend to move and move to another state. My parents moved multiple times over the courses of careers. You didn't stay in one house for 50 years. So that baseline aspect of that plan just didn't work anymore. So what did the boomers do to build wealth so that they had wealth to retire with? Well, for them, it was much more about investment in the stock market, right? They would take their income and try to put a bunch of it aside and put it into 401ks and IRAs and investment accounts and invest in stocks and bonds. And there's whole formulas about, you know, you want this percentage of bonds and this percentage of stocks. And if you did that for 30 or 40 years, then you would have wealth to retire on. And meanwhile, if you could stay in one house long enough to at least make a profit off of it when you sold it, that would help. And then you would take that money and invest it. So for the boomers, it was about invest in stocks and bonds, specifically mutual, whether that's a mutual fund product or individual stocks and bonds. And that worked for them. And then Gen X came along. And these two paths of our grandparents and our parents sort of worked, but sort of didn't work. And you can see this even lately. So the concept of I'm going to invest in stocks and bonds, and over time, I can assume a 12% annual return. Ha! Not anymore, buddy. So even like 20 years ago, if you asked an investment advisor, and I did, so how much per year can I really expect if I invest in, you know, stocks and mutual funds and stuff like that? What should I expect to, you know, what's a safe assumption? 12% per year was a safe assumption. And you could put that into your calculators and go, wow, this really accumulates. I should just save and invest. But here's where that falls apart. It falls apart in that expected reasonable return per year that you can plan on or assume has gone down and down and down. 20 years ago, it was 12% per year. You could safely assume 12% per year. You might do better. 10 years ago, it was 7, I was told, by a wealth manager. No, you're not going to get 12. You might get 7. Just a few years ago, same wealth manager, don't be looking for more than 4. Now, this doesn't mean you can't do better than that, but what's reasonable to plan to over the years when you're trying to project out 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? So it used to be 12, and then it was 7, and then it was 4, and you're like, well, crap, at 4%, I'm not even keeping up with the inflation of grocery prices. That plan's not working. So if my primary residence is not going to be the source of my wealth because we move for work too often, and Gen X moves more often even than the boomers did, and if investing is helpful but not the thing, okay, what else? What about real estate? Real estate's super, super popular with Gen X. Have you noticed? So Gen X got real into real estate. And not me, but other Gen Xers. It's not my bag, but some people are into it. It's a very, very popular route to go in the sense of not your primary residence, but where you say, okay, I'm going to buy this condo or this house and I'm going to rent it out. And I'm going to use that to build wealth. And I'm going to use that for income until I, you know, pay off those properties, or maybe I bought those properties with cash. Shout out to Dave Ramsey. Buy those properties with cash, rent them out. Save up your money, go buy another one with cash, rent that out, save up your money, go buy another one with cash, so that you have a real estate empire. You have a real estate rental empire. And so it's sitting there just churning rental income for you every month as your income, as the income that you can then go live a retirement portion of your life on. And so that's been working for a lot of Gen X. Now comes our kids' generation. And the millennials and the Zs are getting up into that point where they're starting to pay attention to this stuff. And I hear it from my own kids. Mom, that doesn't work anymore. You're going to go build a rental empire on mortgages at 8%, 9%? No. Oh, we'll just buy it with cash. Don't do mortgages. Just buy it with cash. What cash, Mom? When groceries cost this much, and cars cost this much, and rent cost this much, where am I supposed to get cash from to do this? Good question. So real estate investing is either high on interest, which eats up all your profits, or it's heavy on the need for investment cash, which isn't an option for these young generations. Okay, so building a real estate empire is probably not where it's going to be for the average millennial or Gen Z. And the stock market's only reasonably returning over decades, maybe 4% these days. 7 on a good year. Okay, it doesn't mean you don't try to do some of those things, but none of these things are the thing that is going to enable you in your retirement years. So what's it going to be? Now, this is only my opinion. Again, I am not a financial advisor, and you should go talk to one, and you shouldn't listen to a thing I say. I think it's crypto. I'm biased. I get it. I'm incredibly biased. But I think it might be crypto, and here's why. We're on the verge of between 2024 and 2026 of a massive amount of Gen Z, millennials, and Gen Xers being laid off from their jobs due to AI and robotics, but that's powered by AI. But, and absolutely, I absolutely see it coming. So the idea of needing an income, not just needing a retirement plan, but needing an income, how are you going to get that? In the crypto world, you can do crypto mining. Crypto mining has already built wealth for some people in those generations. It's also completely obliterated wealth for some people in terms of speculation. So I'm not talking about speculation here. Speculation is risky. And for 99% of people, I do not recommend it. Mining is different. Mining is where you do work to earn crypto. And then you may hold that crypto, or you may have to cash out that crypto and go pay the rent. But if you can manage to, instead of, I'm going to save and invest in the stock market, what if I work to mine crypto and I hold? And I hold that crypto in the hopes that the value of that crypto will go up over time, over long term. Now you've got the potential, right? The idea of, let's suppose I can manage to save up X amount of money. If I take that money and I buy, let me give as an example, I can go buy Polkadot and I can put that dot on a nominator, which I don't need any special equipment for, or I can even put it into a nomination pool and be making 13 to 15% annually. That's what I'm personally getting on my own personal efforts right now. 13 to 15% annual. It's better than anything ever most people get in real estate or the stock market or on your own house valuation. Huh. So that means the amount of money I would have to save up for retirement is significantly less if I can stake that on mining crypto, either as a validator or a nominator, depending on the project, and be expecting, let's say at minimum, 10% per year. And then I can live on that 10% per year. So I think that's where this is going for millennials and Gen Z, and then we'll have to see where that goes after that. But it's not that you cannot have value created in your primary residence or in stocks and mutual funds or in building a real estate rental empire. You can. It's just not as big as it used to be for these generations. And I think Gen X is about to run headlong into that. The millennials and the Zs are already kind of figuring it out. And I suspect crypto mining, not speculation, but mining in the sense of proof of stake, validating and nominating, I think is where it's going to be at. But that's my opinion. So tell me what you think. Tell me what your strategies are. I would love to know. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you on Chain.